Blog Talk Radio.
This particular song right here is dedicated to the black woman. And it doesn't pertain to all black women. Some of y'all disrespect yourself because you don't know who you are in the first place. This is out of common respect for all women, period. Well, like this song. Yo, I'm quite single and occasionally I mingle. But aside from all the rest, she sparks my interest. No ma'am, I don't know you. Just offering the common respect I feel I owe you. Also, some conversation, companionship, common ground and common sense. There's no such thing as coincidence in me finding you here. And I really hate screaming in your ear. So some other time, okay? I waited today. Hello, this is Carlito from a couple of days ago. You sound tired. Forgive me if I've called you too late. But what better time to relate my state? Where could I begin? Has anyone ever told you got beautiful skin? You're more than welcome. What did you decide within? I just want to be. There's no need to put titles on you and me. Those are limitations. Living and learning are our only obligations. Equality, honesty, independence, intelligence, emotion and devotion. Humbly seeking to hear God when he's speaking. At one time, my mind just couldn't conceive. A woman had to dress a certain way to believe. But in the same breath, allow me to say that if you believe, young lady, you wouldn't dress that way. And I was attracted to your class. I couldn't see all your ass, and I was very content. You deserved every compliment. Now, remember how indifferences make us the same. You gotta have the game, or you ain't even gonna.
Welcome to Sister Awareness. Today we will be discussing the Recovery, Restoration, and Development Plan for U.S. Afro-Descendants in the United States. We are on the cusp of transitioning from the Civil Rights Policy of Dependency to a policy of self-governance, self-determination, and restorative justice, utilizing the international human rights law framework. Today we will have Sister Candida as a guest, and we will be discussing Afro-descendants and our right to self-determination. Sister Candida, are you on now?
Yes, I'm on.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you for joining me today, and we're just going to just jam like we generally jam when we're on the phone, and hopefully we'll have some other callers to come in and have some good conversation with us. Thank you for joining me. So I don't know where we want to start.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. So where would you like to start? On reparations, that seems like to be a hot topic right now.
It sure does. That's a good place, I think, to start.
Yes, indeed. So I'll just describe what I think reparations should look like for us. As you know, we are all part of the African-descendant nation, the Afro-descendant Confederation. And we have already filed different forms of communications with the United Nations, putting them on notice, stating that we are going to be exercising our right to self-determination. Self-determination looks like we will be controlling the institutions that we depend on, such as our own policing, our own education system, our own indigenous healthcare system. Because we're not the same people and our needs are not the same as the majority population. So we need to have programs and institutions to fit our needs. For example, in terms of the policing, we're considered what you call a special population because of the different types of historical trauma that we've been through. And under the Fourth Geneva Convention, that's a part of humanitarian law, we have a special type of policing that entails not just a retributive type of punishing type of policing, but policing to meet the needs of the population. Majority of our calls for service are basically social calls for like domestic violence, unruly children. We have a large mental health population that our law enforcement officers often have to deal with, because they're in certain areas all over the country. We just don't have the resources to deal with some of our people who do have mental health issues. So reparations are not just going to come in the form of a check. It's going to come in the form of putting in the proper systems and institutions and protections that we need and safety nets that we need for our population. And Sister Candida, I know you are a mental health care provider. Can you please share some of the experiences that you've seen in terms of where the needs are for restorative measures and reparative measures in the healthcare system?
Oh, most definitely. One of the things that I did when I was in the mental health profession, I'm retired now, but what I would do is I would assess each client for trauma. And every last one of the clients that I've had over a 15, 20-year period that was of African descent, African Americans, which were traumatized. They assessed for trauma. And so if you think about it, now that they've discovered that we not only have intergenerational trauma, but we have transgenerational trauma that goes all the way back to that to slavery, to when our people were enslaved. So can you just imagine you're carrying that trauma from generation to generation through your family, and then this is compounded by the trauma that African descendants experience all through their lives just by us living in a racist society. You know, and other, say the Caucasians, they don't understand our plight with that because of that.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
And then when you have to deal with someone that has severe mental health issues and you call the somebody has to call the police, these police are not sensitive to our needs, and usually they're not even trained in mental health.
That's
so
true.
So they're treating the mental health people as if they're criminals. You know, our communities are definitely going to need our own, not only our own mental health, but our own police force.
Yes,
because
indeed.
Not only are they there to maintain the peace, but they're there, they should be there to serve the people. And right now,
yes.
We're not being served.
That's
we're
true.
We're being policed.
That's true. That's true. Well, not even police, because some of the behaviors are resemble the occupancy over in Palestine. So we're being occupied, and the police is being weaponized against us, when the fact of the matter is, if we take a look at the types of the violence, internal and external violence, and we take that in consideration, we suffer the same amount of violence as any war-torn country, and we expect our children to go to school and be able to function, and we expect ourselves to be able to function at work and function, period, amongst other human beings, when the fact of the matter is we've never had an opportunity to heal from the impacts of slavery. We've never had an opportunity to heal from the impact of Jim Crow and mass incarceration. We have taken several hits as a population of people. That's why I say the policing is going to, we're going to have a special type of policing specifically for our population that entails using the international and human rights law framework, where the use of force is proportional to the crime. And that's one of the issues that I really have with policing here in the United States. It's not only the over-policing, but it's the militarized policing that we have taken hits from. It's almost every week, you know, there's a murder. Every month, there's a murder involving the police. The police are supposed to protect us. We pay them, our tax dollars pay them to come in and secure our properties, to secure our persons, secure our communities, but that's not happening. I was informed at a meeting one time that they even occupy space, you know, in one area where I live, they occupy space, but no police are actually there, and the crime is horrible in that particular community. So, you know, human rights is the way to go. Self-determination is the way to go. We don't have any other choice. Sister Candida, I do see two more callers that are on the line that I would like to acknowledge and give them an opportunity to speak. One moment.
Okay.
Caller with the last number of 6040. Would you please state your name? Greetings. Who am I speaking to?
Greetings, Sister Elena. You know Sister Elena.
Oh, no.
This is Danny Guthrie from Carlos Mullen. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for calling in. I have Sister Candida on the line.
Yes,
hello,
ma'am.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Okay. And I have one more caller. I just want to check in and let them know that I'm acknowledging that they're here.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Greetings. Caller with the last four digits, 0182.
That's you.
I know that.
Oh, that's you. Okay, so I'll mute then.
Can you hear me, Sister Elena?
Yes, I can hear you,
yes,
Sister Carla.
Very glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
And
you know,
thank
I look
you
forward
for being
to working
here
with you.
Yes, indeed. And thank you for joining me. Brother Daniel, do you have any updates for the self-determination movement up in Detroit?
Not anything exactly new, but we are moving to an area where we have some other representatives from other countries that we're looking forward to having the Zoom conversation with. We don't want to actually say any.
Yes, understood. That's right. Keep those.
So.
That's right. That's right. Keep those ancient Chinese secrets.
Yes, ma'am. So
yes, indeed.
We've got some things that's going to be going on that's happening pretty quick, but
we just
have to be cautious.
Very good. Very good. Very good. Well, I'm excited. I've also been in contact with some people, and I've also sent some communications, and you are aware of what I have been doing. So I've been doing that as well. Also, we do have the Pendo Center for Human Rights and Self-Determination, where I will be, me and my two other colleagues, Sister Cecile and Brother Carl, we're going to be reaching out to a lot of people who are interested in human rights and bringing human rights into their communities. And also, Sister Cecile, she has a great leadership development plan that she wants to put in force so we can develop human rights leadership and also develop our future politicians, even some of the people who will be running in 2024. We need to identify them and get them trained, because why? We give away property rights every day. The fight that you and Brother Ranzu are doing up in Detroit, that's dealing with our property rights. And we have international and human rights law, such as the ILO 169 agreements, Chapter 26 of Agenda 21, various environmental laws and different international human rights conventions that guarantee us our right to property. I know, like under the ILO 169 agreements, different corporations and different banks and whatever have you have to come to the community and do different studies and get our consent before they follow through with different projects. And those things have been sidestepped. They have been sidestepped. Is Sister Carla still on? Because I see she dropped.
Yes, she's with-
Wonderful.
No,
okay.
She's still with us.
Wonderful. Wonderful. But yes.
Yeah, and
that's
exactly what's going on up there in Detroit right now. They're selling off the property. They're bringing in the big financial firms and, you know, outsiders coming in selling the properties off, And when the people who actually are able and can afford to buy these properties, they're being denied the right to buy them in Detroit. And that's that's where the big problem is right there. You know, they're not allowing the community citizens to purchase homes and purchase businesses or buildings, but they're letting outside entities come in. And that's what we have to reverse once things take hold. It's got to be reversed. It can't just be start from here and go forward. That needs to be reversed.
Yes. Well,
ma'am.
Brother Daniel, I'm going to tell you, I had ran across an article by Black Agenda Reports concerning when the governor of Michigan at that particular time, I believe it was like 2014, he had planned to actually gentrify the state of Michigan, and where he was bringing in the upper crust immigrants and pushing us out. So we have evidence, prima facie evidence, for the state of colonialism. That is an illegal population transfer, what is going on in Detroit. And what you all are fighting is considered an illegal population transfer. It's a form of apartheid, and various international laws are being broken. But what's going on is that puppet leaders either know the international law or they know and don't care. But when we are using domestic terms to address international problems, it doesn't help us any. So what's going on up there is a ethnic cleansing, basically. So we need to be doing a cease and desist, filing proper paperwork in the international arenas, and also putting, like, the World Bank and different multi-corporations, they need to be put on notice that they are violating our rights when they're doing business with colonizers. And that's the name, basically, what's happening, whether
that's
we like
exactly
it or not.
What's happening.
So that's what's happening. That's what's happening. And the laws that protect us are the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, the ICERD Convention, the ILO 169 Agreements, the Decolonization Conventions are the basic convention that we need to be asserting at all times. So those are some of the things that I want to basically train our upcoming leadership about, and how to submit those different communications and those cease and desists, because in Latin America, the Afro descendants, they're breaking ground because they're using those laws. They're asserting their land rights and their communal rights and their cultural rights, and they're breaking ground. They're getting what they need for their families and for their next generations to come, while we're sitting over here trying to figure out if we're going to vote for the devil or the witch. And with that, I yield the floor.
Yes, ma'am.
Actually paralyzed. Our people are paralyzed over here, and just, you know, they're just stuck. They're stuck in a mode of depending on the colonizers, on our colonizers. That's where they're stuck.
Yes. And that's true. That is so true. And one thing I wanted to share is basically how reparations is going to look for us. Reparations is going to look for us. It's going to look like $59 trillion in the form of compensation, in the form of agreements, in the form of technology transfers and intellectual property transfers. And I say technology and intellectual transfers because we want to be self-sufficient. We just don't want a funky check. We want land. We want to assert our land rights. We need cities like Detroit that are historically Black, historically African-American cities. We want those cities controlled by us. We want the economy controlled, the tax dollars controlled by us, and we don't mind having other nationalities there. We're not saying we don't want them there, but we're saying we want to control it. You know, our issue is we don't control anything. The modes of production, we don't control that. We don't control our institutions that we depend on. The criminal justice system that we need needs to fit our needs, because we are an abused population of people. We just can't keep fighting crime with retribution. We got to have some restorative practices in there. We've taken heavy hits. Our families, our communities have taken heavy hits. Why? Because we've had the war on drugs. We've had Jim Crow. We've had mass incarceration. We still got mass incarceration. We've taken so many hits where we cannot depend on the offender to address our needs. We've got to address those needs. We've got to put the safety nets in place for our population, not the people who are doing the harms to us. So reparations is going to look like property rights, land rights. We have a big issue with our historical black towns. People are reaping the benefits from those. They're moving our ancestors. These different universities are, when they go get ready to dig and build and add on to different sections of the universities, they're digging up our ancestors. That's our cultural, that's our biological property that we need to be controlling. There's a lot of work that we need to be doing. We have Brother Ramzu up in Detroit. You and Brother Ramzu and everyone else who's been helping has been fighting a long, long battle. And a lot of people don't know how to get in touch with you and how to be a part of it, Brother Daniel. Will you please share with us the website, how they can register, and how they can be a part of what you're doing?
Yes, ma'am. All right, so one of the websites is reparationsbank.com, reparationsbank.com. And the next, and the other is iunite.app, iunite.app.
Thank you.
And that,
that's, of course,
www.iunite.app. And we also have teamreparationsbank.com or team.reparationsbank.com. That way you can go on, when you go on the team.reparationsbank.com, you can get on the list and you can communicate with the people in your area. They begin, they create a group. You can create a group there and you'll see the different members in your area and you can communicate. You can start your own, you know, have your own little group communications to communicate with the folks that's in your general area where you can have your meetings, your actual sit down face to face meetings.
Wonderful.
And,
wonderful.
Yes, ma'am.
Brother Daniel, can you repeat that? Brother Daniel, this is Candida. Can you please repeat that last one you said? You're saying team, T E A M, are you saying team?
Yes. T E A M dot reparationsbank dot com.
reparationsbank.com. Okay.
Wonderful.
Yes, ma'am.
Wonderful.
Yes,
and
Thank you so much, brother.
Thank you,
You're
Brother
welcome.
Daniel.
You're welcome.
Because that movement needs to be replicated in all 50 states, in urban and in rural areas. And that needs to be replicated because that's how we can liberate ourselves. I know a lot of people always say, oh, if you go and, you know, we have a movement where people say, oh, let's go dig up all our ancestors and go, you know, go link back to this tribe. And no, we have rights that we can assert right now. We don't have to go through all of that. We can liberate one community at a time, just like Brother Ramzu is doing. As a matter of fact, the methodology, and once I really looked at what Brother Ramzu was doing, he's using the same mythology that basically our Afro-descended family and our indigenous family in Latin America has been using since 1988. And, it's shameful that we don't know these things. But now we do. The cat is out of the bag now. And thanks to Brother Ramzu, we have a way that we can liberate ourselves one city at a time, one block at a time, one community at a time, one urban area at a time, one suburban area at a time. It's just a matter of getting consent and stop consenting to our demise, because that's basically what we've been doing for the past umpteen years, is consenting to our own demise. our tax dollars pay the police to kill us. Our tax dollars pay for the poor schooling. Our tax dollars pay for the horrible healthcare system that does not even consider that we have a distinct biological makeup that gives us medicines and stuff that kill us every day. And we should be grateful that they kill us. We have
Sister Elena, and the medical, they're also using us, misusing us to experiment against our consent.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. So we have the university hospitals all over this country that economically disadvantaged African Americans will go to those facilities, and they're being experimented on.
Yes, ma'am.
So we actually are dealing with a medical apartheid too.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And that is the pretext for us exercising self-determination. We have so much evidence of apartheid here in the United States that is just awful. We have so much evidence of belligerent occupancy. When everyone else is talking about, oh, this is racism, what makes me so angry, they direct their attention to one officer or one racist act, like it's an individual act. This is embedded, it's customary, it's embedded in the very fabric of the United States. That's what we're up against.
Yes, it's systemic.
It's systemic, and it's past mere racism. This is apartheid that we're dealing with. It's
exactly.
apartheid. And what we're going to have to do is use the international and human rights framework to fight it. So that's where I am. I support Brother Ramzu or any other self-determination movement, because we didn't coin and we didn't corner the market on self-determination. And that's one of the reasons why we developed the Pendo Center for Human Rights and Self-Determination. We want to be the go-to people for anyone who wants to exercise their human rights. We have so many cases, people call me all the time, who needs assistance, who don't know where to go, who don't know what to do, because the justice system has closed their doors on them. They don't have anywhere to go. They don't have a whole lot of money. We're going to have to band together and have an institution where our people can go to feel safe, to bring their problems to, where they know they're going to have the assistance that they need to push the issue that they're trying to push in their communities. We have a lot of great leadership out there who's been out there, but they don't have a good grasp on what our problem is, because they've examined it from the offender's perspective and from the domestic perspective using the civil rights paradigm. That's not going to work. Our issues are way beyond, maybe having dinner at a restaurant. We are in a life and death situation here.
With the common everyday people need to come to grips with, they're stuck on civil rights, and civil rights is not going to solve the issues that we have now, which are human rights. And it makes me angry when I see the government playing games with our people's minds. They'll mention reparations, knowing that reparations is not going to be resolved on a civil level.
It's going to have to be
resolved on an international level.
They put this
census up there, had people to sign it, and what it said was they wanted to know how many people thought that there should be a study on reparations. Are you kidding me?
That's not what the
law
says.
We don't need any more studies.
It was
thousands of people that signed that, which told me that it's so many of our people that do not understand that is not the way for us to go, and that's just wasting our time.
Yes, but you know what, Sister Candida, it's the public school system and the media and the puppet leadership. That's why we have to have a mass campaign, a mass campaign of information, distributing literature. I've requested different literature from the UN to distribute. I've requested curriculum even for school-aged children. I've put in those requests so I can have something to distribute to our people. And also, I'm going to start this radio show back up so at least once per week, people can come in, dial in, and get information, talk about some of the issues that they have, because our people need to know their rights. We need a educational, political education program in every city, every state, every county where we are existing, so we'll know how to fight these battles. What has to be done for areas like Detroit that has been gentrified and ethnically cleansed, there needs to be a cease and desist order, and it can be done. And we should be able to do it through the Inter-American Court. I'm looking at that research right now because that's going to be the next document that I file, a cease and desist. And I'm looking at doing it for all of these opportunity zones. That's another form of recolonization.
Now, what do you mean by opportunity zones, sister?
Those opportunity zones are the zones that Donald Trump had quartered off for quote-unquote development. We all know there's no money earmarked for us. Those big corporations and developers are going to get those contracts. And we have property rights in those areas. So we need to assert those rights. So whatever goes across the table, if it doesn't benefit us directly, doesn't benefit our communities, then guess what? You don't put it there. Guess what?
That's right.
You're not going to. No. We have a land right claim, cultural right claim, and property right claim right here in the United States that we have not properly addressed. What we need to do is go ahead and take inventory of do a census along with the declarations that we have signing and people signing up and declaring their human right to self-determination. We need to do a census. Number two, we need to take inventory of the property of where we are in the area in all 50 states and look at those lines, because we've already been sectioned off. They've done a very good. So those opportunity zones reflect the partitions and the property of where we've been placed. So what we have to do is go back in there and claim those areas as ours and let them know we have an interest in that land. We have an interest in the property on that land because our tax dollars over the years helped develop it, and you just don't get to dispose of it without coming to us first. And that's how that's going to have to rock.
That's one of the main things that we probably need to do first, because I'm in Oklahoma. And, you know, Sister Lana, you and I have talked about this, and I'm very concerned about the land out here in Oklahoma, the historically black towns. The majority of black people in Oklahoma City, are on the northeast side. And so that's Dell City, Midwest City, and then immediate northeast. And then in Tulsa, they have a large population in a certain district of African descendants. And then it's like about 11 historically black towns. Well, one of the things I'm beginning to research, that one of the things that they've done is those mayors of the black town, they want to attract, blacks to come back to those black towns, right? Well,
yes,
ma'am. This group created. But my concern, when I looked at who was on the group, like a board they have created, you got these whites on that board. Now, eventually they're going to try to bring in developers. So this is something that we need to look at, too. What did you say, a cease and desist?
Yes,
so
ma'am.
So that they cannot do that to these towns out here, because these towns have a lot of farmland around it
that
we can use to produce food for our communities, where we can have manufacturing companies.
Yes,
so this is very important. I feel like strategically, Oklahoma is very important to the Afro-descendant nation.
Yes, ma'am. And Candida, for me to piggyback on that, I had actually spoke to years ago, I believe it was maybe 3 or 4 years ago, to some of those leaders out there in those towns. And they really wanted us to come back, come out there, but I never got an opportunity to really come out there. And that's one of the first things on my list that I want to do is come out there, speak with those mayors. I want to talk to the black people on the ground. I have no interest in talking to any Caucasian concerning that because we have a right to return to our homelands. After 1865, our rights were sidestepped. Our rights were sidestepped after World War II. Our rights were sidestepped during the Civil Rights era. And if it wasn't for people like Brother Daniel and Brother Ramzu, they would be sidestepped right now. So what we're going to have to do is take inventory, do a study, a brief study, maybe about a month study on how that land transacted, the historical aspect of that land. Then we can go through the Inter-American Court and exercise our property rights and maybe do a cease and desist order. And that way let them know that, hey, we have cultural and biological property rights to that land. That is how the Native Americans utilize their rights. Article 27 of the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights that the United States signed off on, that is our friend when it comes to land rights and it comes to our property rights. The Inter-American Court is the place that we need to go. We have to take inventory of all of the property in the spaces that we have occupied. And out there in Oklahoma, we have a historical right to return under international human rights law, under humanitarian law, under refugee law. Right now, we have a right to return to Oklahoma. Because our ancestors,
I think that needs to be done as soon as possible. Because you have these big corporations coming together that are looking at this property out here in Oklahoma that has been property which African descendants have occupied, and they plus including those historically black towns that they're getting ready to descend upon.
We need
to hurry up and do something about that.
Yes, ma'am. And we're not going to give away our strategy now, Sister Candida. We're not going to do that, but we want to put enough out here to let them. We know we can do something about it. We know within the next month, if we do a good study and we pull the proper documentation, we can get a cease and desist, because the way that I want to address it is not just for Oklahoma, not just for Detroit. I want to put a cease and desist on everywhere where we occupy and where we have been historically the majority population, and where we have paid into that tax bracket, and where we have paid into developing that area. We want our part. And there's international and human rights law that allows us to do that. Now, I don't know who's going to be able to assist us and who wants to work with us on this particular project, but it's something that we can do, and it's doable. And the treaties that we can use, Sister Candida, is the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, Article 1 through 3, because we have a right to control our resources. Article 27 brings in the cultural ties to that land, and it ties us back to the land. That's how our family in Latin America, our indigenous family, and our Afro-descendant family, that's how they have utilized international and human rights law. So when you're doing your research and your brainstorming, just pull that particular document, the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, and the ILO 169 agreement, because we can utilize that particular document to assert our human rights. Now, in the Inter-American Court, another place that you can look for our property rights is in the Inter-American Convention. In the Inter-American Convention, we can use that body of law as well to assert our property rights. Brother Daniel, what do you think about that particular strategy?
Yes, ma'am. That is a good. That is the best strategy. See, we have to.
I think it's good to seize the land first.
Yes, yes. Put them on notice. But I also wanted to give you another website too.
Okay.
If you want to share this information and become actually a part of this the movement for the people and I Unite, it's the website is humanrightspolicy.us, humanrightspolicy.us, and you can click on the enlist button and you can become a human rights register for human rights policy officer and also council member, because remember we're going to need a land area, a consenting population, and a governing body, and that's where we are getting, and a security. That's
very
where the policy
good.
Officers and human and council members come in. So it's humanrightspolicy.us. Okay,
thank
and
you
can
you.
Click
thank
on the enlist
you.
Button. Yes, yes, ma'am. But their strategy is good. We have to lock it down as soon as possible because they're moving at a breakneck pace right now. They're trying to get as much seized as they can, so then it would still be a drawn out international court, inter-American court battle to get it back. See, if we
mm-hmm.
lock it down, then we get it. So we won't have
yeah.
to deal with that battle to return to it.
Well,
so
see,
excuse
me, let me piggyback something.
Go ahead.
That was the first
yeah.
when they colonized us. That was the first thing that they seized was the land.
Yes.
That's why we have to turn around and do the same thing.
Yes.
We've got
mm-hmm.
to seize the land.
Mm-hmm.
And right,
mm-hmm.
human rights abuse is automatic forfeiture of those lands and of those properties. When you violate the human rights and commit human rights abuses, then you automatically, those lands are forfeited. But we have
mm-hmm.
to get into the court. That's forfeiture. They don't have that. They don't have authority. They don't have the right to it anymore because they got it. Genocidal conditions, apartheid, you know, and by any means necessary, that's what they're using. So we have to adopt some of the plays from their book and do
that's
the same
right.
thing. Any means necessary, we go at them, we stay at them, we hit them from all sides, as we're doing right now. There's so many different organizations and groups that's out here that's coming together as to unify, to bring this to a closing. See, we
exactly.
might be coming using different approaches, but we all have one goal in mind. And that's
exactly.
what got them so terrified. They're
exactly.
terrified right
exactly.
now.
And Brother Daniel, I just
yes.
want to read this particular excerpt from the Inter-American Convention for you all, okay,
yes.
and for our audience. The American Convention
yes.
on Human Rights directly sets out the means to protect the rights applicable by the Commission and the Inter-American Court of Human Rights pursuant to Chapter 2, Article 33. The significance of these enforcement provisions is further heightened by the reference to the special property rights protections conferred by Part 1, states' obligations and rights protected were under the American Convention. Indigenous communities can allege violations of their communal property rights and rely on the following protections provided in Article 21. Everyone has the right to use and enjoyment of his property. The law may subordinate such use and enjoyment to the interests of society. No one shall be deprived of his property except upon payment of just compensation for reasons of public utility or social interest and in the cases in accordance to the forms established by law. Usury and other form of exploitation of man by man shall be prohibited by the law.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
That's so. We have the evidence. We have the people that are on the ground that can provide firsthand experience about the harms that they have experienced due to the fact that they've been pushed out of their communities and pushed out of their homes. We have a slam dunk case. So that will be the next project for the Pendo Center of Human Rights and Self-Determination. So if we have anyone out there in these different areas that can get any articles, get any studies of any misappropriation of property in their areas, specifically where we are the majority population, we need that evidence, because within the next month or so, we are going to be trying to file a cease and desist, not just for Detroit, not just for Oklahoma, but we're going to pull those opportunity zones, and we're going to do it for everywhere that we are the majority population and that we occupy, because we have interest in that property. We help develop it, and our tax dollars help pay it, and we're not going to continue to fund our own demise. And with that, I yield.
Okay.
The jig is up. The jig is up. The jig is up. I have another caller, so let me check on this next caller. Caller with the last four callers with the last four digits 6347. You're on the air. Would you please state your name and the state you're calling from?
Sister Lena, I'm a little late. This is Chaz.
Oh, greetings, Brother Chaz. How are you?
I'm doing great, Yeah, I had the boys this weekend, and we got tied up doing some stuff, but, you know, I'm here, and good to hear you. We moving on.
Oh, yes, we are. We got Sister Candida on the line. We got Sister Carla, and we have Brother Daniel, and we're just having a little powwow about our next move.
Amen, great. Yeah,
yes,
I just sent out the number to a lot of friends, so hopefully they would join in.
Wonderful. Well, so far we talked about reparations and how it's going to look. Right now we're talking about how we're going to exercise our property rights and do a cease and desist order for the land and the property here. In all 50 states, and we're going to use the opportunity zones as our borders, as our areas,
right.
And use those maps because we have an interest. I was doing some research about 2 weeks ago, and I got Ramsey on my mind. I had him on my mind and what he was doing, and I was like, this brother is clever. He just don't know. He opened up a can of worms that can't be put back in place. And a lot of people tried to throw what he was doing under the bus, but it ain't no throwing him under the bus. He's brilliant.
Right.
We have property rights that can be
mm-hmm.
secured in the OAS in Latin America. Our family there, our indigenous family and our Afro-descendant family, they have been securing their property rights by using international human rights law. And we can do the same thing. So we're going to look at the framework and analyze the framework that they've used and apply it to our situation right here and try and do a cease and desist and put some of these multinational corporations on notice, put these banks on notice, all these people on notice that it's not business as usual. We need our reparations. We want our land rights, and we're going to assert our rights to property. We've gone along to get along way too long, and now
way
it's time
long.
To stop. Now, who are you voting for? Are you voting? I'm messing with you now.
Oh no, you know I don't do it, but you know I don't believe in putting a king over me. The Most High is my king.
That's right. Especially with the ones that we got. An option for you have to make a choice between the devil or the witch, and neither one of them is good.
Right.
So, self-determination is the way to go. I support self-determination. I am not for any type of reformist policy. That we are done with that. It's about self-determination,
right.
self-governance, immediate reparations. I'm sorry, but you had 40 years to do a study. All you haven't learned about what you owe in 30 years, that is a you problem. We want our reparations. We want them now. We want them expeditiously in the form of compensation, in the form of land, in the form of intellectual and technology transfers, okay? Also, mm-hmm. we want rights to the sea, rights to and above the sea. We want guarantees of non-repetition. That means you leave us alone. We want legal, economic, political, and cultural partitions. We don't want to separate, but we want boundaries. We want to control what belongs to us. We want to control our human capital. We want to control our labor. We want to control our resources. No more business as usual. We got to address this parasitic relationship, and that's what we're in. We're suffering from internal colonialism. How do you get rid of internal colonialism? You practice internal sovereignty. Now, some of our family want to go to Africa. That's called external sovereignty. If you want to go to Africa, you can do that. That's your human right. You got a right to self-determine. But we don't need to be saying, oh, putting it in a position, positioning the issue, or, oh, you can do this. No, it's and we're going to practice internal sovereignty, and we're going to practice external sovereignty for those yeah. who want to go. Not pitting right. each other against each other. We got to yeah. stop that. We got too much internal conflict going on when we got people killing us for no reason.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the time is now for us to organize, unify, or we're going to die. If we don't do anything, do what we need to do legally and politically right now, we're going to leave our children and our grandchildren in FEMA camps, carted off the FEMA camps, and dying within the next 5 years if we don't make a move. That's where we are.
That's where we are.
That is where we are. So we've got to start calling a spade a spade, speaking up. I know I was in the grocery store yesterday. I went in the grocery store, and this lady tried to strike up a conversation with me about who she's voting for. I don't care who you voting for. My people are dying. I don't care who's
That's
running
right.
for that seat. My people are dying. My people are hungry. Everywhere you go, we're suffering. And then to make and then to put the icing on the cake, you point the finger at us like it's our fault when the bottom line is it's the policies, it's the Constitution, it's the racism, it's the colonialism, and it's the parasitic relationship that's keeping us in that position. And you got puppet leadership and dirt floating Negroes that want to walk around here and tell us our vote's going to get us out of this shit, and it's not.
Oh,
and with that, I hit the floor.
I agree with you, and I teach total separation. For the many years we've been here, I feel that those many years we need to be separated from these people and get ourselves together and learn to
That's
love
right.
us.
That's right. That's right.
Every
well,
year
I'm, all
been
for,
here.
I'm all for that. I'm all for that because I think the biggest mistake that we made was integration.
It was. It
yeah.
was, and
it was.
We didn't make that step. We didn't make that. That was not a legitimate move, and I'll tell you why. It was orchestrated. You had strategically placed Negroes in high places that manipulated the masses and knew that was not the way to go. And when integration didn't work for that, work for them, oh, those Negroes, they started putting on dashikis and kente cloth. Oh, and some of them even dressed up like Indians and started getting and asserting their land rights. But the rest of us, they said, screw us. Yes, sir. I don't call names, but I'm just letting that cat out of the bag. We're entitled to land rights, too, whether we can dig up a bone or not. We've acquired a status of land rights, and we've acquired a status that allows us to self-govern the same way the Native Americans were able to do it. The United States is not practicing apartheid only solely on race, on based on race. It's also practicing apartheid against us based on the fact that they knew we were here. Our ancestors were here when they got here the same way the Native Americans were here. And that's the basis for the reparations case, not for the slavery that they did over 300 years ago. We're taking them to the bricks for what they're doing right now. Right now, they're colonizing us. Parasitic relationship is forced. We didn't consent to it. There was no plebiscite in 1865. There was no plebiscite in 1945. There was no plebiscite in 1965. And it ain't been no plebiscite now. Therefore, the relationship is null and void. And it's a violation of those Vienna conventions. And I want somebody to prove me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to prove me wrong. I cannot wait until we get these asses up in the courtroom.
It's impossible to prove a lie, but it's easy to prove the truth.
Yes, ma'am. Sister Elena, this is Candida. I wanted to ask you a question. When you do a cease and desist, that will also put a halt to any gentrification, won't it?
Yes, ma'am. That means that we're asserting our human rights, and they're going to have to come to the table. And we're going to have to put those banks on notice, their corporates, and we're going to have to put those multinational corporations on notice as well, because they violated our rights. They violated us so bad that I can't even go into it, because they have never gotten our consent for anything. And we've acquired over the years, because we paid taxes and we paid for the upkeep and our labor helped maintain these areas. They have sidestepped our rights. And you would have it, you got these Negroes running around here telling, oh, you don't have no rights. Oh, you don't know who your ancestors are. Bullshit! It's bullshit. And they know it. They know it. They know it. But the jig is up. It's about what we need to do.
They know that it is, sister, but they also know that the majority of our people don't know.
Yes.
That's why they've been able to pull this crap.
Yeah. But they won't be able to pull it too much longer, because I'm going to tell it. If I got to sing it in a song, I'm going to tell it. I am going to tell it.
And there might be a way to do it, because you got a lot of talented rappers and people, and there might be a way to do it. Because, like I say, most of the time, our people don't read books, they don't research, but they will listen to a song.
But they always want to jump. I got a problem. Let me tell you something. I got a problem with these Negroes jumping in front of cameras who don't know what the hell they're talking about. With Negroes.
Yep.
Now, come on now. Now, Ice Cube, I'm not going to bang on Ice Cube, because Ice Cube, he came from a good place. But that thing that looks the cross between E.T. and a cockroach, Trump ought to be ashamed of his damn self. He ought to be ashamed.
Yeah.
What can he do? What can he?
His brains are so burnt up. He doesn't have sense to be ashamed.
It's just awful. It's just awful. It is awful.
Yep.
But it is what it is. But we just got to move and do some of the things that we need to do. I really appreciate everybody who is on this call, and you are valued in this fight. Because it is a fight, and we are in for the fight of our lives. The very fact that we're being murdered everywhere in droves, it's nothing for a young black man to be mowed down like a dog. And while the world watches, we've become so sensitive to seeing murders, our people murdered on TV. It's almost every day you can go on social media, or either you turn on the news, somebody's being murdered. Well, how do you stop it? You get them out of your area. You self-govern, you self-police, and you take care of yourself. I don't know why these Negroes even came up with anything like integration. I don't know whose bright idea it was, but it was the most stupidest idea.
That wasn't the black folks. Sister Elena, that wasn't the blacks that came up with that. That was the whites that had infiltrated civil rights movement. Because I was in North Carolina, and North Carolina, they didn't want integration. They wanted separate but equal. That's what they wanted.
That's right.
No, well, they didn't want that. They, that was forced upon them. Because, those, you know, in North Carolina, we had it all. We had black administrators over the schools. We had black teachers. We had a black business areas. No, but what they were fighting for is like the main public library. Even though our taxes paid for that, we didn't have access to that. We didn't
have
access to the main post office. You see, so it was things like that. We didn't want integration. In fact, when they passed the law for it, that first year, you didn't have anybody but a couple of blacks that went voluntarily from the black school to the white school. So the following year, they came up with busing. And so what they did is they had the 11th and 12th grade, they made the black school, which it was practically a brand new school sitting up on the hill. So they made that junior and senior. And then the white school, they made freshman and sophomore. Well, guess what? They replaced all the black administrators at the black school with white administrators. And they kept the white administrators, they kept the white administrators at the white school. So when they had prom time, the blacks didn't want to go to prom because they were making all the decisions. They were allowing the white kids to make all the decisions about who how the prom was going to be, what band it was going to be. So they just, they practiced just taking over. Anytime they go into a situation, it's all about power and control. So that's what happened with integration. That's what happened with the so-called integration.
And Candida, you say it so eloquently because I can just picture in my mind how it happened. But what bothers me is that you have this puppet Negro leadership who wants to run in front of the damn camera every chance they get, have not analyzed the problem, and think that we ought to follow behind them and follow us and continue to pay it for our own demise. Our tax dollars line our crimes against humanity. Our tax dollars line the police brutality. Our tax dollars line the misappropriation of all of our assets, all of our cultural property, all of our biological property, and all of our real property and our land rights. I mean, I've never seen anything like this in all my days. And you got Negroes who want you to be closed mouth about it and go along and get along, but those days are over. I'm going to train me a team. I am looking to train me a team of young people who are ready to go out and do what it is to do to secure their rights for not just this generation, but the next generations to come. That's where I am at. We need to train our people, educate our people. I've been reaching out to people in media. So we can have a media team, a social media team. It's going to take collective group work and organizing to remove us from these conditions that we're in. And we're in some horrible conditions.
Yes,
Sister Carla, I haven't heard from Sister Carla. Is she still on the line?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. I'm still here.
How are you, Sister Carla? I haven't heard from you yet. What's going on in your neck of the woods? Is Sister Carla still there? She may not have heard me. Well, I'm going to go ahead and there's something else I want to share with the audience about the Fourth Geneva Convention. The Declaration and the Fourth Geneva Conventions and other international law indicate the following practices have the character of a colonial regime. So I want you to just listen to these five things. Violating the territorial integrity of occupied territory. Depriving the people of an occupied territory of the capacity for self-governance by replacing their legal and political mechanisms. Integrating the economy of the occupied territory into that of the occupant to an extent that it inhibits the autonomy of the occupied territory. Depriving the population under occupation of permanent sovereignty over its natural resources and cultural domination, which further threatens the identity of the people of an occupied territory and thus its capacity to express its right to self-determination. So, we are being violated over and over and over again.
Yes, ma'am. And I wanted to say something also. And when we talk, when Sister Candida spoke on, people don't really know. Well, you know, our people have been demoralized for so long that they lost their will to fight. And this part of the reason is because of, as we already spoke on, that hybrid warfare. And also,
yes,
because whoever, if you can, as you know, if you can demoralize the people in the eyes of the public, then the public is, you know, they just say, well, to themselves, they expect things to happen. They say, well, they must have did something wrong. They must have deserved it. But that's the media demoralizing us and villainizing us. And,
yeah,
and they say it loud enough and long enough, everybody will believe it. It can be a lie. And but you say it loud
right.
enough and long, even the people that know the truth, minds will be conditioned to put the truth aside and believe what they're hearing. And,
Daniel, you are so, so right. I know when I went to Iran, I went there in 2015, and I spoke on the police brutality and talked about the human rights law framework. I had an opportunity to talk to different nationalities of people, and one of the most the conversation that I had the most impact, that impacted me the most, was with a Palestinian sister. And she asked me what was wrong with us. What's wrong with you people? How could you just be killed in the streets? How could you just allow your children to die? You know why she asked me that after I got through speaking with her? Because all they see is these buffoonish rappers, these crazy entertainers, these crazy R&B artists jumping around with no clothes on, just misrepresenting us as a people, just complete trash around the world. That's what they see. And what that does is it takes away our humanity and justify every police brutality case that comes across our TV set. So we're going to have to create some type of organization to say that's addressing, that's issuing boycotts. If you're doing something
right.
that harms our image as a people, because we have a collective identity, and it's each one of our responsibility to uphold it in a respectful way. So when we get these rappers out here doing all crazy stuff, saying crazy stuff, we need to yank their coattail and start boycotting their music. Your music don't get played in my house. Your music shouldn't be played on the radio, and we won't represent
exactly.
you because we won't spend our dollars with you. And I yield the floor.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's what needs to
that's
happen.
Their hybrid, that's their hybrid warfare program, see?
Yes, sir.
They utilize our entertainers to entertain us by all, and at the same time, is brainwashing us. You know, like you said, we're becoming accustomed to being killed. You know, we're reactive. You know, we're not proactive. We got to become proactive, not reactive.
Right. That's right. That's right.
And that's what I try to spread all the time. Every day, I'm talking to somebody or some group or not group, but some individual or whatever. And sometimes I really come off harsh and strong. I mean, I come at them because I know sometimes you got to use harsh language for people to hear you, and that's how I bring it to them. And a lot of the places where I travel to and deliver, I don't even see our people working there. And especially up in this North Jersey area. In the North Jersey area, you go to all of these warehouses and manufacturing plants, all you see, now I'm not a racist by any means. This is just reality. I'm a realist. All you see is Latinos working in there, white folks working in there. I be shocked when I see some black folks working in office positions. You rarely ever see them in the office position, and you rarely see them in the labor position. So I told them, I said, you know, the problem, they like to call our people lazy. Which we didn't start getting called lazy until we refused to work for free. And now, when they say lazy black folks don't want to work, I've hit them right between the eyes. I said, no, it's not that they don't want to work. It's that you do not hire. Management corporations are not hiring them. Don't give me that. Don't even talk that back to me that they don't want to work. I said, look at look in this area. I said, you got 60, 70 Latinos and one black person. I mean, the one black person or a sister, brother, or native, that's the only one that qualified to do this job that you're doing? No, you're not hiring. It's management. It's what the part of the old slave code laws that you, no corporation is supposed to do anything to uplift a black person, or they call them Negroes, to uplift a black person by punishment of jail, imprisonment, or death. That's great. That's great. They don't know about these things. But I know, and I call them on, because I'm not afraid to stand, you know, up and speak what I know to be true. I'm not gonna tell no lies. I'm gonna tell the truth, and you can get mad. The only person that hates the truth is a liar, and I always use that. If you know what I'm saying, that makes you a liar. Either you're prejudiced, you're racist, or you're just an idiot or confused. There's something wrong with you if you say America's not racist from the core.
I want to be honest with you, Brother Daniel. When, you know, we had a lot of our leaders back in the 70s and in the early 80s that were, you know, in the 90s that were helping South Africa fight apartheid. But we should have been right there in the international courts fighting apartheid right here in the United States. We are up under apartheid mass. With this, it's masked by this integrationist system, and the Constitution is the bedrock, is where it all starts, the way that it defines our relationship with the United States. So what's the tactic that we're going to have to use, the strategy, is to break that parasitical relationship. All the talk about racism, racism is a derivative, but the issue is bigger than racism. You're dealing with belligerent occupation, you're dealing with colonialism, and you're dealing with apartheid on steroids that's masked in integration. So we're just going to have to keep fighting. We're just going to have to keep talking to our people. We're just going to have to keep making these filings, get people to register with the nation, get people to register with Brother Ramzu, and we're just going to have to keep pushing this ball until we can't push it no more, because we don't have a choice. And with that, I yield the floor.
Yes, ma'am.
One of the things, Sister Elena, I wanted to interject. Back as far as South Africa goes, I think that was like back in the 70s, 60s, 70s.
Yes,
what
ma'am.
Black gifts are doing is when they found out that there was U.S. Companies over in South Africa and U.S. banks, they withdrew any type of support from those institutions when they found out that they were over there in South Africa. So, and that's one thing our people are going to have to learn is to hit them in their pocket where it hurts. Boycott them economically, because all that marching in the street and all that stuff, that's not going to get it. They need to learn how to boycott economically.
That's right. And we're going to have to adopt some of those same policies, because Sister Candida, when we get ready to go in and do the cease and desist and assert our property rights, we're going to have to deal with banks. We're going to have to look at all the financial institutions in those areas that actually benefited from our, at our expense. And they're going to have to be put on notice. And they may even have to be sued. We don't know. So it's, you know, you know, we may even have to sue them. So we have so many fights, and I'm going to be honest with you, Sister Candida. I really don't want to open that can of worms up until we train at least two or three more people, because we're going to need it. You know, a few more people. We need to train to get this battle and to do the work that we need to do. We need to train at least 3,000 or 4,000 human rights defenders, human rights policy officers, researchers. We need that. So when we get ready to open that can of worms, we're going to unleash a dragon. We got to be prepared to fight. Because when
you're going to be fighting against city councils also.
And they're not going to play fair.
That's where all the dirty deals are made.
And, you know, we have so many applicable laws that applies to our situation, like the Convention on Practice that prohibits the practice of apartheid. We have so many laws that have been violated. I just can't even go into them. It's just so many that's being violated, and that we need to be a human rights that we need to be asserting. But I just don't know how to reach the people. I just don't know how to get people on board. I do the best that I can. And sometimes it's almost like, you know what, I just need to take a break today. And then someone hit me again and say, okay, Lena, you just can't give up the fight. You just got to keep fighting. So that's where I am right now. That's where I am right now. Well, I really appreciate you all calling in. I know it's Sunday. I won't take up too much of your time. We're going to try to do this again next Sunday, or try to do it next week. And I really appreciate all of you calling in. Brother Chaz, will you take us out in prayer?
Sure. Most High, we pray for your mercy, your grace, and your love. We pray for Sister Elena, give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding of the direction that we have to go in. And Father, we pray for our men. Pray for our men, that our men will stand up and be in lead. Father, we pray for our women, that they will be encouraged and be strengthened by the men, and give the men strength. And Father, we bless you and protect our children. Protect our children as they go about doing their lives, and watch over us and protect us from all hurt, harm, and danger, all disease, pestilence. And Father, y'all bring us back to your covenant. Bring us back to your covenant. And we bless you, we honor you, and we praise your holy name. And we thank you for all that's been done, all that has been said, and let it be so. We thank you in your name. Amen.
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 Thank you so much. Thank you for calling in, guys, and I look forward to speaking with you all next week. Thank you, and good night.
Thank you. Good night.
There's a fine line, baby, I'm on it.
There's a fine line between love and hate. She can't wait too late, but baby, I'm on it. There's a fine line between love and hate. Can't wait too late, but baby, I'm on it. Can't worry about what a nigga think to see. That's liberation, and baby, I want it.
hope to give and take.